Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Shazad Haque. Now, the co-funding of wage increases of local lower wage workers, a $600 million that's going to be set aside to help boost small and medium enterprise productivity.
There'll be a $500 million package for firms to cope with COVID-19 challenges. These are just some of the business-focused initiatives from this year's budget announced by Finance Minister Lawrence Wong.
That's right. To find out how the business community is responding to these measures, we're joined on the line now by Lamy Yong, who is the CEO of the Singapore Business Federation. Thank you so much for joining us today and welcome back to Primetime.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back with us. Let's start off talking about this Jobs Growth Initiative Scheme and Temporary Bridging Loan. A number of moves and measures announced in this year's budget to continue to tide businesses through challenges that linger as a result of COVID-19. What are your thoughts on the budget overall before we get into the details?
But I think overall, it's a very well-balanced budget with a good focus on the future, while not, as you mentioned, not forgetting about the companies, especially the SMEs, that are still facing challenges at the moment.
And that said, in terms of SMEs facing challenges at the moment, we did see a number of initiatives to help tide them through. We've got that $600 million set aside to help boost productivity. We also saw some enterprise programs as well. Was this what you were expecting from this year's budget?
To a certain extent, yes. You see, while the economy as a whole is recovering well, the recovery is uneven. And there are sectors that are still facing challenges and the impact of the various COVID restrictions. So it's good that there are things like the extension of the Jobs Growth Incentive Scheme, the Temporary Bridging Loan Program, as well as the new Jobs and Business Support Package that will help businesses, especially SMEs, in weathering the current challenges and in helping them to preserve capabilities for recovery and growth.
So we know that the government have said that they will co-fund wage increases for lower wage workers, local lower wage workers, over the next 5 years. That's, of course, to help employers adjust to the progressive wage model, which gets expanded to cover more workers. So obviously this will help to raise wages, but it also will result in higher costs to businesses. So what has been the response from the business community?
Well, I think there are naturally concerns about rising costs among businesses. But I think on the whole, business leaders do understand the need to help our lower wage workers in terms of helping them to earn a reasonable living wage. And the progressive wage model does help in this and does it in a way that is also linked to skills and productivity. On the whole, I think businesses very much welcome the progressive wage credit, which will help to co-fund the wage increases. But more importantly, beyond this, it is important for the whole society to be involved. Consumers must be prepared to pay more for the goods and services they consume so that the workers producing these goods and services can be paid more. And in this aspect, I think this is where the progressive wage mark will come in useful to help consumers to identify businesses that are paying progressive wages. And hopefully, consumers will support these businesses more.
So we've spoken about cost as being one of the key challenges for businesses going forward. Manpower continues to be another key challenge for many, many companies, a tight manpower situation. And, you know, for SMEs, I mean, they hire about 70% of Singapore's workforce. They need to tap into manpower to ensure, you know, business sustainability, growth. A lot of sectors, a lot of avenues are going to be diversifying into. Digitization for SMEs is critical as well. So they're going to be looking for manpower across the board. But that said, the minimum qualifying salary for new EPs, S-Pass applicants was raised, mentioned to be raised during the budget. A number of other initiatives on the manpower front as well. What are your thoughts on the increase in the quantum at a time when many sectors are still struggling with both costs and manpower?
Indeed, this is of concern to companies. Mm-hmm. Although the increase in the qualifying salaries for employment pass and S-passes is not unexpected, as these have been raised progressively over the years to keep pace with salaries of locals. I think the consistent signal being sent by the government to businesses is that businesses need to continue with the transformation and job redesign efforts and continue developing a strong Singapore core while ensuring the quality and complementarity of their foreign workforce. But we clearly continue to need foreign employees in Singapore. And I think it is encouraging that the budget also reaffirm that Singapore remains open to foreign employees and that we continue to welcome foreign employees, especially in areas that we face skill shortages. And this is something that we need to continue looking at how we can best meet such skills needs in various sectors, especially those sectors that Singaporeans do not find attractive.
We are talking to Lam Yee Young, CEO of the Singapore Business Federation, on his reaction to the budget that was announced by Finance Minister Lawrence Wong last Friday. Now let's talk about the big headline. Of course, many people were talking or expecting the GST increase. And of course, additional costs are on the rise when that will eventually happen. What are your thoughts on this staggered approach? A reminder, of course, it will go up to 8% in 2023 and 9% in 2024.
I think it will be fair to say that what was announced for the GST increase is better than what many have feared. With the staggered approach over 2 years, starting only from January 2023, businesses have more time to prepare for the GST increase. And this additional time is much welcome. And I think this is especially important given the current cost pressures that businesses are already facing. Of course, one slight drawback of the staggered approach is that businesses will need to adjust their financial and point of sale system twice instead of one time. But I think it is still very much welcome businesses are given more time to adjust to the GST increases.
Businesses and consumers alike. And since we're on the topic of tax, let's talk about the carbon tax. What do businesses need to know?
I think for the carbon tax, it is important not to view it in isolation, but within the larger context of sustainability and green development.
Mm-hmm.
Companies are increasingly aware of the importance of sustainability and are also coming under more pressure from their investors and customers on how green they are. The carbon tax puts a price on carbon emissions and helps ensure that such externalities are factored into business decisions. So for businesses, it is important to look at how they can decarbonize and be more green in how they go about their business. I think businesses should also look beyond just sustainability in business to look at sustainability as a business, at how they can make money from sustainability and how they can seize the new green growth opportunities in the region.
There are also forward-looking measures such as the enterprise financing scheme. Why are such initiatives important to help businesses post-pandemic?
The enhancement to the enterprise financing scheme, specifically to the merger and acquisition loan and the trade loan, will support businesses in seizing opportunities. For example, in addition to supporting overseas M&A, the scheme will now also support domestic M&A. And the higher risk share for trade loan for nascent markets will also help businesses that are venturing into these newer and less tapped markets. So I think these are very much consistent with the growth story and helping businesses to go out and seize opportunities.
Ms. Lam, was there anything that you would have liked to have seen in this year's budget that perhaps wasn't there?
Well, of course, the budget statement over that 2+ hours cannot cover everything.
Yes.
So we very much look forward to more details and maybe more initiatives coming out during the Committee of Supply. I think two areas that hopefully we will see more initiatives coming out is in terms of helping SMEs in the area of cybersecurity.
Mm.
With greater digitalization, cybersecurity becomes more important. And another area is in terms of the intangible assets or intellectual property. I think there can be schemes to help SMEs to tap on innovation, to better protect their innovation and monetize their innovation. I think these will be very much welcome.
Okay, well, Mr. Lam, we will be looking out for that as well in the upcoming COS debates. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Lam Yee Young, CEO of the Singapore Business Federation, for his thoughts on this year's budget 2022 announcement. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.